Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. The Twitter feed, the Periscope app, the video views, whatever it is, that is live on the Twitter account and the Facebook account. You can find both by searching Fox Sports Knoxville. It is a beautiful morning outside. It is November 19th. It is a Tuesday morning. It is the Blitz. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by Chance Collins. Still waiting on the fish to get back, but we got our original three-man show here today. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good?
Feeling good, feeling great, Rick.
We're just moving right along through the month of November. I mean, we're almost through.
We are flying through it. Like, can you believe that? I mean, I think Thanksgiving's next week, right?
Wait, no.
There's a week and then Thanksgiving. So it's not...
It's a week from Thursday.
Yes.
Okay, yes,
it
so
is,
next week.
It's next week. You are correct.
Yeah, that's crazy. It is wild that Thanksgiving is on its way. Where does Thanksgiving rank on your favorite holidays?
Number two.
Really?
Yeah.
Behind what?
Christmas.
Okay. So really, the back half of the year is prime meat.
Yeah.
Prime meat, huh?
That's what all your holidays are.
Yeah, likely number two or number one. Probably two. It's a close one for Christmas, though.
Look, I love Thanksgiving. Right?
I don't think you do. I think that you're setting this up. There's going to be a huge butt.
Yeah.
And you're going to crap all over Thanksgiving. That's what's about to happen. Just watch and see.
Yeah. Much like Sir Mix-a-Lot, there is about to be a huge butt. But I kind of feel like sometimes it gets taken a little bit over the top.
No, I feel like that's the exact opposite of what happens with Thanksgiving.
You feel like people don't give it enough credit.
No.
Everything shuts down on
Thanksgiving.
It's
overshadowed.
Yeah, Thanksgiving kind of doesn't get enough credit.
The Christmas season overshadows it. I mean, you got people with Christmas lights up already. Have had them up for weeks.
I think those people are not disrespecting Thanksgiving.
I think you can do that though.
Yeah,
you can.
Those people are not disrespectful because it's not like they're skipping the like a Thanksgiving tradition, right? Like if Christmas was coming up and you're decorating for 4th of July, that's like, well, you gotta do the whole Christmas thing first, and then you have like
Christmas
four
and
other
Thanksgiving
holidays
almost synonymous now.
Yeah.
Almost hand in hand now.
But like, I love the day. It's a great day. You get to go see your family, get to eat a lot of good food. There's a lot of good football on, but I feel like at the end of the day,
I do know people who don't care for Thanksgiving.
Bear.
Yeah. Do you want to be on that hill?
Well, no, trust me. I'm not
on
that.
You
want to
plant your flag
that
on
hill.
The I hate Thanksgiving hill? You want to plant that flag?
No, absolutely not. I love Thanksgiving. I just feel like sometimes people make a little too big of a deal out of
Thanksgiving,
it.
Thanksgiving, turkey.
Well, I bet you don't like turkey,
all
do you?
All the fixings.
Oh, I love turkey. Love turkey.
How have you had turkey prepared on Thanksgiving? Only roasted? You ever had fried turkey? You ever had smoked turkey?
I think we've definitely done smoked, and I think we've not done fried yet.
Oh.
But we have done the roasted, and we have done the smoked.
You don't like
the
fried turkey?
I've never had it.
Oh, it'll change your life.
Will it really?
It will.
dangerous. You got to make sure that
you got to make sure the bird's thawed. It's the number one cause for fires around the holidays. People throwing a frozen bird into hot grease like idiots, or even if it's not all the way like patted dry, and then expect the grease not to, you know, pour out onto the flames because there's a wet bird in there. No, fried turkey will change your life. I love the fried turkey. A couple years ago, though, I bought a charbroil oilless fryer, and it fries the turkey with no oil. No hazard.
Seems like witchcraft to me.
Infrared. It's
really
cool.
Seems like wizardry.
It's really cool how it works.
Thanksgiving is fun, right? But what you guys are saying is right. At the center point of all of Thanksgiving, obviously, is the turkey. And I do want to tell you about this real quick. Tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek, OEB Law is giving away 150.
How many?
150. 150 Thanksgiving turkeys on a first-come, first-served basis, courtesy of our friends at OEB Law.
150 birds. That's a lot.
They're giving away 150 birds.
So where can the fine people pick these up?
You can pick them up Smoky Mountain Brewery, Turkey Creek. Fantastic place. 3 to 6 p.m.
What's the date on that?
Well, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. So you got to go. You got to make your plans quickly. You make your plans. Hey, Brandon, and then guess what? You go there. You pick up your bird. It's a first-come, first-served basis, right? So mm-hmm. So there's no slacking around. You got to go when it's time to go. You get your bird. You get your turkey. You throw it in the car. Maybe, I don't know what you do. Maybe you keep it with you. But you stick around for a little bit.
I mean, yeah, you definitely keep it with you regardless, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're certainly not putting it in like a, you know, some homeless man's shopping cart or something.
So I'm saying you're gonna keep it with you regardless. To
although that person could also get one if they wanted to. But yeah, you're right. Oh, but the point being,
how are they
gonna
cook a damn turkey? They have no home.
There are ways.
Look, I don't know why.
Point is,
I don't know why people would need a raw turkey if they're not gonna eat it. But some people might. The point is that if you go to Smoky Mountain Brewery tomorrow, 3 to 6, it's also $6 Burger Day. The double whammy.
What'd you say?
The double whammy. The $6 Burger Day on Wednesdays. You can get your turkey. You can get your burger. You get all of that for $6.
But.
Okay, so that's a lot.
Be forewarned.
Yeah.
They go quickly.
Oh, they go mega quickly.
They go very quickly.
The birds do go quick.
Yeah, wash that tasty burger down tomorrow with a Cold Mountain Light or a Cherokee Red Ale. Again, that is our friends at OEB Law giving away 150 free Thanksgiving turkeys on a first-come, first-served basis. Tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m., Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. OEB Law, turn your wreck into a check. You can find out more information about them at wreckintoacheck.com. We made it about 10 minutes into the show today with no sports. So we might as well kind of tease what's on the menu today.
A lot of basketball stuff.
A lot of basketball stuff.
I'm pumped.
Hey,
I'm getting pumped up for basketball.
Shout out to the 20th ranked team in the nation, your Tennessee Volunteers.
Rich Barnes and them boys.
How about that? Right back where we belong.
Barnes' boys.
Right back in our home, back in the top 25.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Rick Pitino told you. Them boys is going to surprise some people this year.
He did. He did.
Oh, Ricky P.
He did.
The vampire himself. He warned you.
Ricky P. He saw Eves. He saw Eve Ponce. He knew.
He saw what they were doing.
He saw Fulkerson.
Everybody's like, oh, what are the Vols going to do for their front court presence with no Admiral Schofield, no Grant Williams?
Uh-huh.
Rick Barnes said, they think I can't coach.
Uh-huh.
Look at us. Yeah. I'm just going to put Eves down there.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Ponce down there. His athletic ability. He plays better with his back to the basket now. Who would have thought?
Folky showed Rick Pitino his extensive headband collection, which, by the way,
is that a headband or just like a cut-off T-shirt?
We're
sleeve?
At like 4 for 4 like, from different
it?
Ones.
Is it really
well,
a headband or is it just like a cut-off T-shirt
Chance,
sleeve?
You raise the question
it's
of
not
the
a headband. We got to stop with that.
Well, he's worn a different one every single game. I've made notes of it about this at this point.
Yeah.
He has.
No, I find it very interesting. It's just funny, but those, like, that's not a traditional headband when we think of a headband.
His last one was definitely not. It was very interesting. But, okay. So we got the 20th team in the nation. Penny Hardaway is talking about the Tennessee-Memphis rivalry, getting a couple people fired up about it for, you know, one reason or another. What else is happening? Jeremy Pruitt, he's talking about the Missouri game, talking about the quarterback situation, talking about some of the injury reports.
Did you see him yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Sporting a new look.
Yeah, new look Pruitt.
He is going with the very rectangular glasses.
I have something that I noticed that someone else...
Jeremy Pruitt looking a lot more stylish these days.
The glasses.
No, I like it that he doesn't look like just a slob up there anymore. He can just put the glasses on. That just changes his look by...
This is like the whole Clark Kent Superman thing?
Exponentially, like, by at least, like, you know, 100-fold. Like
he's finding himself. He's getting comfortable in his own skin.
This is like how Clark Kent can go from Superman to regular journalist with only a pair of glasses. You're saying that it might actually change Pruitt that much?
He just doesn't look like such a slob up there. He actually, whether or not, you know, people tell you all the time, he looks a little bit more intelligent up there. He looks a little bit more, like you say, Brandon, like Brandon said, he looks like he's finding himself, like he's a little bit more comfortable in his own skin now. That's what winning will do for you.
I saw someone point this out on Twitter, so I'm not taking credit for this. I can't remember who it was, though. But pointed out that the glasses that he was wearing, very, very similar to the glasses that Fulmer wears. Very similar. Like, eerily similar.
I think it was the Godfather that pointed that out.
Was it Nate?
It was.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you think they're wearing the same glasses? Like,
they traded.
Oh, man. What if...
Take these.
They got the same prescription.
Can you imagine, like, Pruitt and...
Take these. Wear these. Put
these on. Can you imagine Pruitt and Fulmer sitting down in a room talking about football? Pruitt can't see the plays correctly. Fulmer leans over in a dimly lit room. I got a guy. What do you mean?
All hell broke loose.
I got a guy for you. A glasses guy.
No, he just handed him the glasses.
No, he just gave him his glasses.
Why would he hand him his glasses? That doesn't make sense.
Have you seen the picture?
That's
his
protege.
They look the same.
He's kind of like he just got him the hookup with his own guy.
Have you ever seen him? I mean, Jeremy Pruitt aging could age like the battle captain. He just gave him his glasses.
All right. Yeah. Wait, man, I feel like...
I mean, they're probably just readers.
I'm going to look this up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to look this
up. Some readers from the local Walgreens.
They're probably just readers. They don't wear the glasses all the time.
If you had a pair of glasses, would you just willingly give them off your face to someone?
Oh, he's passing the torch, dude. Yeah. It's the glasses.
That's the symbolism of the torch in this case.
Oh yeah,
just the glasses.
Oh yeah.
You go out there, you beat UAB, you beat South Carolina, you get the glasses passed down. It's a big step.
It is. He just passed them on down to him. Had them in his drawer, you know. Jeremy, take these. This is what I used to wear.
Hey, I will say
these are yours now.
I do think that these are the exact same glasses.
100%. Told you that.
Yeah. You think we're lying to you?
Those are his Foster Grant 1998s. He went in the drawer, got the Foster Grants, passed them to Jeremy.
Yeah, you can look. The Godfather, Nate, he has a great side-by-side picture from yesterday on his Twitter account, at Nate Hodges. But it really is. It's got the two silver circles on the corners. It's got the thin frame up top, the thicker frame around the bottom, the rectangular shape, the thick nose bridge.
I told you the Foster Grant
98. These are the same dadgum glasses. Yep. That's hilarious.
865-546-8200. Want to get on and talk about Jeremy Pruitt's glasses? Or maybe even the 20th ranked Tennessee basketballs?
Uh-uh. Glasses only.
The glasses only.
Yeah, we'll make a rule today.
Phil, hold tight.
You got to talk about the glasses.
You're up next when we get back, Philly. Listen to the Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio.
Back here on the Blitz, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Taking you over to the phone lines, which remember you can call in yourself with the number 865-546-8200. Again, 546-8200. Let's start with those phone lines right now. Take a call from Phil. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Well, you're saying not so fabulous, Rick Butler.
I want to go back to the fabulous. I feel like there's been some tension here. I don't want it anymore.
Well, I mean, you quit talking about glasses, talk sports, but make some improvements, you know what?
Ah.
Collar pace issues.
Fair point. Fair point. Constructive criticism.
Well, I mean, I could care less what Skull Can and Fulmer wear on their heads. I mean, let's get real. They got bald heads. They got to make it look a little better. You know what I'm saying?
Also true.
Spruce it up.
But, guys, all honesty, this Jeremy Pruitt has got to win this game Saturday or the Bluebirds be back out again.
Do you think so? Do you think he's gained enough credibility over the last couple of weeks to where people might kind of give him a pass for one?
For one? Well, if he loses to Vanderbilt, he's really going to be on the hot seat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if
a lot of goodwill. We barely beat Kentucky. Are we celebrating? I think we're really making progress.
I think considering where you started, just getting a team win on the road, yeah, like I do think that's progress at the very least.
Well, I do agree we were better than we were when we played Georgia State and BYU, but those first two games, I put those on Jeremy Pruitt, which never lost those two games.
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely right, you know, because that's kind of where the hole he's had to dig out of this season is, you know, he's not just starting from a regular playing field, or he's not just starting from, you know, wherever he ended off last year. Like, you really dig yourself a hole with those two games. But you do bring up a good point. Like, I do wonder if, you know, if the fans have kind of rallied together and they might give him a pass for Missouri. But, you know, then again, if you're losing to Missouri, Vanderbilt is by no means a guarantee. Or, you know, I wonder if, like you're saying, people will, you know, people will start to turn again and the Boo Birds will come out. I think that maybe I'm kind of right down the middle right now. I don't know which side I would go with. I guess it'd be depending on the loss.
Well, I hope they beat Missouri, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, you caught JG out there, there's always a chance for a loss.
Yeah, you know, and the weird thing is that we've seen our quarterback situation this year is that we've seen them all be good at times, but there's really been no moments where any of them have been great consistently over a multi-game run.
Yeah. I agree.
They've never been great. They've been kind of B-minus, B-level players. You know, I'm thinking for students because my head is in the school area right now. But, you know, I'm thinking they're a kind of student that averages a B-minus or a B, and they've never really hit that A-plus test yet, you know, or consecutive at least. So that's the tough part.
Poor old Kentucky almost got beat last night. It's kind of funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, they, it's nothing. I feel like they usually do this just about every year. I'm sure by the time February or March rolls around, they'll be clicking on all cylinders.
Well, if Nick Richards is their best post player, then they're not making too much progress up there.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Richards is an all-SEC player myself, and this is his third year.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to have a lot more trouble than people expected, even with, you know, stellar guards.
Yeah, that's for sure. Guys, y'all heard anything on Euros? It's funny. Friday will be 3 weeks since the NCAA denied his eligibility, and then we've appealed, and it's been 3 weeks. You think the longer this thing goes, the better it looks for Tennessee? Because if they were going to deny it again quickly, they'd already done it, wouldn't you think?
I don't know, Phil. I mean, I don't know exactly what all this process that they're going through entails. If it reaches a certain point, I mean, if it goes on another month and you're going into conference play, I mean, and you still haven't heard anything, I mean, then what?
Well, I'm still taking even if you get this for half a year.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get him for conference play, I mean, I'd
oh yeah,
I mean, it'd kind of be like whatever year that was when you got Jarnell Stokes for the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of give you a spark heading into conference play, and hope you can finish the season strong.
Well, I don't know, guys. We need some help inside, but they're better. Tennessee's better than I thought they'd be.
A lot better. Barnsley can coach, can't he? Tennessee's a show people he can coach. I mean, maybe this year is a little bit more than just a stopgap year, and they actually, you know, get a little bit higher seed than what people think. I still think anywhere from 5 to 7 seed. I think he can coach them up to a 5 seed. But with the way the league looks, with Kentucky not looking as strong as what you thought,
and Florida
looking pedestrian. You know, they've had some. Three losses right now?
Two.
So you might actually be in, you know, up there in 1-3, 1-4 range.
And I mean, right.
People thought they were going to be a lot lower than that.
Yeah, and I mean, right now, I would say that Tennessee and Auburn, probably the two best teams. Through the season so far, Auburn and Tennessee.
Who's Auburn beating?
Well, I mean, they've not lost. But, yeah, I mean, Auburn, I mean, they've not played anybody. They've been blowing everybody out, but
well, they also got beat by South Alabama.
Oh yeah, that is
South
true.
Alabama, and that's Trey's school, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
He went to South Alabama. Yeah, they like you said, they haven't really been tested with anybody, but that was a close game. They played Colgate recently, and then South Alabama, and also they played Davidson in a tight one in Georgia Southern. I mean, they've had some tight games, actually. Like you said, they only beat South Alabama by a point. The game where they dominated has only been Colgate, and they played whoever CSUN is.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, me neither.
Brandon, mascot?
I don't know the school.
Are y'all going to be down there
Cal
at
State Northridge?
Smoky Mountain Brewery tomorrow?
I pop on by.
Yes.
Catch me a bird.
I may hop out there. Get me a
bird. I'll need a bird, don't we?
I'll get me a bird.
Might get me a Mountain Light.
Mountain Light, look at Bear Bryant on the mic. See you.
Oh. Who knew? Freestyle from Phil.
I want Phil to...
he's rapping now.
I will personally hand him his bird.
Cal State Northridge. What happened? Cal State University Northridge. You know their mascot?
I would be lying if I said I knew it. But,
I have. Okay.
Can I get a hint? Like maybe, is it like a fighter? Like a
It looks like a fighter. I don't know what it is, but that's what it looks like.
Do you have an educated guess of what it is right now?
Oh my God. He's so weird.
Oh my God.
It's like a Trojan or a Spartan or something like that.
It looks like something like that.
So Chance, would you say he got it? Would you give him the points on it?
Like I'm gonna look and see what it is, but just for me looking at the picture right now. That's
Brandon, I have like 15 teams that I'm just going to throw out at random times.
Today?
Yeah, in the middle of the show.
Okay.
The Matadors.
In the middle of sentences.
Did you look it up?
Yeah,
the
Matadors.
Maddie the Matador. So I would say that's pretty close.
I feel like we counted. That's pretty damn good.
Let's see. Do we?
A Matador's.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him.
Hey!
I'll give it to him.
But no, I mean, But to Phil's point on the football team, I don't know if people would necessarily be upset if Tennessee loses on Saturday. I mean, it would be disappointing given how Missouri's played the past 4 weeks and how Tennessee's played the past 4 weeks. It would be disappointing to lose that. I don't know if fans would boo, but it would make that Vanderbilt game, I think people would be on edge.
Yeah.
And the pressure would be turned up to beat Vanderbilt, especially given the recent history of that game. People would be on edge.
Yeah, like that's the
– And if you don't make a bowl, then all the goodwill that you've built up the past month goes out the window.
Yeah, that's the weird dichotomy of it, right? Is like on one hand –
Big word.
Thank you very much. On one hand, you have the situation where, you know – It's not the biggest deal in the world if he loses to Missouri. Like, he's built up a lot of goodwill. But on the other hand, well, then it's do or die versus Vanderbilt, final game of the season. That's tough. More on the Blitz coming up next. All right, back here on the Blitz, 10:35 a.m. Rick Butler, Brandon Ark, and Chance Collins rolling through the first hour. Okay, so we got a little bit into the basketball team. We got a little bit into the football team. Which one would you like to continue with? Anybody? We got stuff for both.
Let's go basketball. I want to go basketball. You got a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll go football. I mean, we'll talk about football today, but go heavier football toward the end of the week.
We've got basketball.
Yes, we do.
That's fantastic. Okay, yeah, so Tennessee has a game coming up. Al State, who is this? Alcorn? Alabama State. Alabama State, that's right, the Hornets.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at this. Alabama State, 0-3 on the year so far.
They suck.
ESPN's BPI gives them a 3.1% chance to win. Wow. Feels like Tennessee should very easily handle this team tomorrow.
They should.
Do you expect them to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in these kind of games, it's so much more about what do you want to see rather than who do you think is going to win, you know?
Yeah.
Versus Washington, I think we are asking a lot of the time, all right, well, who's going to win? You know, what does John Fulkerson have to do for Tennessee to win? What does Josiah Jordan James have to do for Tennessee to win? What do all these guys have to do in these kind of games? I mean, what is Alabama State? This is about, you know. Okay, so actually this is a good time to bring this up. I wanted to bring this up earlier in the week because I wanted to ask you guys about this because I do think it will kind of play into the game tomorrow. So versus Washington, Tennessee played their five starters, which was Fulkerson, Turner, Bowden, Pons, and James. And then off the bench, they only played Kamhua and Jalen Johnson.
Kamwa?
I'm never.
You said Kamhua.
It's not Hua. We know it's not Hua.
Somebody has said Hua before, though.
Yeah, Nate and Houston. They were wrong.
Hua said Hua.
Can never trust your own. That's what I'm learning right now. Okay, so you had, can you say it again?
Kamwa.
And Jalen Johnson coming off the bench. But that was it. Then the game before that, you obviously had, you know, Barnes working a couple more guys into the rotation early versus Murray State. You had the same five, and then off the bench you had Pember. The name.
Drew Pember?
No, the other name.
Come on.
Ah. See, you can't say it either. None of us can say it.
Kamwa.
Kamwa. Pember, Kamwa, Kent, Johnson, Gaines. So what does this kind of thing mean to you where, you know, is there any kind of story in Tennessee only dropping down to a seven-man rotation for the Washington game? I would fully expect versus Alabama State to see all 10 of these guys back in at some point today. Do you chalk this up to just the matchup? Do you chalk it up to early season? Do you think that Tennessee is likely going to expand this rotation? Because in my quick just 1 second thought on it is like there were a lot of times where I truly felt like last year Tennessee got in a lot of depth trouble towards the end of the season because really you were just kind of running one, maybe two at times productive players off the bench. A lot of that team towards the end of the year last year was a six-man producing team where like Fulkerson would come off as well and be the seventh man but maybe have 2 to 4 points, if lucky.
Yeah, I mean, you had guys that got into foul trouble last year, so you had to bring in guys off the bench. But, I mean, you look at Saturday, nobody really got in foul trouble. I mean, you had four guys with three and one with two. That was the extent of it. You didn't have anybody in foul trouble, so you could kind of keep guys out there. I mean, I do think that in close games like that, obviously the rotation is going to be trimmed down, but I would like to see, I mean, I think you need to see guys like Zach Kent, Drew Pember, Devontae Gaines, Kamwa, all those guys. I think you need to see them out there tomorrow night against Alabama State. Get them some minutes where they're actually playing actual basketball and they're not just out there in cleanup time. because I think you're going to need those guys later in the year, because there could be a game against Kentucky, against Florida, against whoever in conference where you're going to need them to step up, and that experience is going to pay off.
Yeah, man, and I really look at a guy like Devontae Gaines, who Devontae Gaines is a guy that I would love to see more continued in the rotation this year. Again, we don't really know what he will look like. Like, I'm not saying that out of total confidence that he's just like an assassin from deep range or that he's an outstanding playmaker. He certainly could be. Well, our last game we saw him, we only saw 2 minutes of him. I think what's funny about Devontae Gaines, you can tell right off the bat, is he is certainly a freshman, you know? Just kind of really, like, he looks like he's having so much fun out there on the court and, you know, kind of getting a little over the top. I think there was a moment in the Murray State game, although maybe it might have been the season opener, where Devontae Gaines had a dunk and then I think slapped the backboard or something, and Barnes pulled him out real quick. Maybe his first ever college basketball game, just gets a little bit emotional, slaps the backboard. Barnes puts him on the bench very quick. I loved it. Typical pecking order of things. But that's kind of just the way that Rick Barnes coaches. But you're absolutely right, man. Guys like Devontae Gaines, even a Drew Pember, who you know, I think that we're hearing a lot of people who followed very closely Knoxville High School basketball saying that he's about as underrated as it gets, you know, and this is great. You're not going to have a lot of these opportunities to play 0-3 teams, you know. You're just not. No, you got to make the most out of them and get your guys to work in those games that you do.
Well, you got to get those guys playing time early. And the thing that's so, you know, intriguing about these guys too, and what starting to see with Barnes, and this is like trending basketball anyways, he gets a lot of guys with length. I mean, Gaines has a lot of length around that perimeter, too, to be able to play around the perimeter, and he could go bang inside, too, at 6'7", with a lot of wingspan. Same thing with Pember. I mean, these are long guys. I mean, even Fulke's somewhat of a long guy. So, yeah, Barnes likes these longer players. I like that.
Yeah, he most certainly does. And I think that you can see that from not only the recruiting classes that kind of just got to campus, but also the ones that are coming in soon.
James Holzhauer and Ken Jennings and some other guy.
Brad Rutter, I believe.
Yeah. Who knows who he is?
Miami of Ohio mascot, go.
The Bobcats.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. No. I misheard. I thought you were talking about
Ohio.
You
gotta catch him when he's thinking about something else.
The Red Hawks.
Smart.
Good job.
That was smart.
You gotta catch him when he's thinking about something else. Old Dominion.
The Monarchs. But
he's so weird.
Holzhauer and Ken Jennings
and Rutter.
Who cares about him?
He's critical.
I don't think he is.
He's the third best.
Who cares? I want to see these two go at it. Two champions.
Yeah, I kind of do too. You know, I kind of want to see the Jennings versus Holzhauer showdown.
That's in January.
That's when it'll be.
Yeah, $1.5 million.
GOAT of Jeopardy title is on the line. That's big.
This is what we've been working towards.
We?
Yeah.
You got a mouse in your pocket?
All of us.
Who's the
world?
Which one's the redhead?
Jennings, I think.
Ken Jennings?
James Holzhauer is definitely not a redhead.
Yeah, he's the dark
haired
guy.
Alex Trebek.
Yeah, it's Ken Jennings.
I'm a Ken Jennings camp.
You're in the Ken Jennings camp?
The OG.
No, the OG.
Wow.
The original gangster.
Well, Chance,
if you didn't know what OG meant.
I don't want to go to war over this, but I am prepared to go to war over this. I take it very seriously.
So you're a Holzhauer fan.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Holzhauer every hour. That's my life motto. It's actually my Twitter bio as well. Come on. See, where's Weston, right?
Holzhauer every hour.
Like, if Weston was here and he's just cracking bad jokes all day long, here,
be like,
that elevates that joke up.
Yeah.
But he's not here, so that's unfortunate.
So all your bad jokes just come to the front of the line.
I know.
Now.
Yeah, they really do. They're just right there in the forefront.
While we're on basketball, I know we got to take a break right here. But while we're on basketball, A little news yesterday coming out about the Tennessee-Memphis rivalry and the future of that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to get into that on the other side, wrap up hour one?
Let's do that. And I will end you with this right here. For the first time in, well, I don't know if they were ranked last year, but for the first time in the 2019-2020 season, both the Lady Vols and the Basket Vols both ranked in the top 25 at the same time. Pretty good. Lady Vols slide in at 23. Vols are at 20. It's basketball time in Tennessee. We'll be right back after this. So here's what's crazy. I mentioned this a second ago. The Lady Vols move into the top 25. In doing so, just Notre Dame falls out of the top 25 for the first time in 12 years, which is 234 consecutive weeks. Remember, shout out to the Lady Vols. They beat Notre Dame last week. But so then it got me curious, right? Because that streak is over. That streak was the second longest consecutive week ranked in the top 25 in women's basketball, right? 234 weeks. That's a pretty good number. Do you know who they're behind?
Not bad. I mean, Tennessee.
That is correct. They're behind, obviously, the Lady Vols. But the Lady Vols, until 2016, spent 565 consecutive weeks in the top 25 rankings. Now, I'm pretty sure that if all the math I did is correct, which might not be, but if, you know, in this article, if 234 consecutive weeks comes out to be about 12 years, then UT, which I know that they invented the sport, I know that we are the, you know, or at least we were the sport of women's basketball. A lot of people still believe we are. But 29 straight years, at least what the math is telling me, 29 straight years in the top 25 is an unreal accomplishment. Like, I know that Tennessee Lady Vols basketball is massive, is out of this world. But to think for almost 30 years, that is crazy. Never falling out. It's wild.
It is.
I mean,
it's
been over for 3 years.
Hey, a new one can begin. It's what they say. It's my motto. It's actually my Twitter bio.
Really?
I don't think
it is.
Oh. Okay.
That's why you said it.
Yeah. But anyways. Okay, so anyways, I just thought that was interesting. I thought that almost 30 straight years when you actually crunch the numbers.
It's a long time.
It's kind of crazy. Oh. Someone's got an alarm going off.
Yeah. Things happen.
Okay, but anyways, so did you guys watch this Monday Night Football game last week? Or last week? Last night?
Well,
yes. You might have watched it last week.
I watched both.
Okay, good. The game last night was, in case you missed it, in Mexico City. Between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs won by a score of 24-17. But the real story that everyone's talking about following the game is
how much Philip Rivers sucks.
Well.
Yeah, how much he needs to hang it up.
That needs to be a conversation because, oh my gosh,
he's
man.
Terrible.
What is happening to him the last couple weeks?
I picked him up on my fantasy team.
You cursed him for good, dog. You did it. You cursed him.
Good
That's
job.
A lot of interceptions.
I didn't start him this week, though. He's still on the team, but not starting.
But a lot of people are very up in arms about the field conditions, saying, hey, like let's actually show some concern about our players here and not just the money-making side of things. If you're going to go to a different country, at least when you go to London, you know, you get the absolute best services possible in terms of the field and the stadium and the amenities and stuff like that. And for there to be a Monday Night Football NFL game of all things to be played in a field that is not that good, like, I think that's unfortunate. I think the NFL can certainly do better. I love the idea of traveling, you know, for these one-off games. Like, I think that's great. It's kind of fun. It's a different atmosphere. It's whatever. But at least, like, let's not, it's annoying when the story coming out of the game is the field, when that's never the case for any of the 32, you know, home stadiums in the States.
Maybe the black hole.
The what?
Where the Raiders play.
Oh.
With the baseball.
You're talking about a legitimate black hole here, like in outer space. I was like, where?
No.
What?
Why would I be talking about that?
That wouldn't make any sense.
That's what I was wondering. That's why I was shocked.
No, the continue, though. Where the Raiders play.
Okay.
With the baseball.
I gotcha.
But they had problems with that field last season. They didn't play because they
The Coliseum, right?
They had a concert. No, it was supposed to be Mexico City, and they had a concert there the night before. What was it? It was let me do some research on that. I forget what concert it was, but it was a pretty big one, and they had it the night before, and so they had to move like that week and cancel the game. So I don't think it's that big of a surprise. They're probably still dealing with, because they're only playing, what, they play soccer maybe here, and outside of that, it's not really probably built for a football field, and then they try to just set it up really fast every year. Well, they have the same issues.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think it was actually the Chiefs and the Chargers who were supposed to play there last year as well, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of a rematch of sorts, I guess. But yeah, that's crazy. What do you think about that? Any just overall thoughts about that game? I mean, I know to me there wasn't much to it. San Diego's not that good, although they did put up a pretty good fight. Maybe Kansas City is still trying to collect themselves, find their footing.
Yeah, that was my takeaway more so than anything about the Chargers. I mean, Phillip Rivers, I mean, he probably needs to hang it up at the end of the year. I mean, it's not working.
How old is he?
Well, maybe not. I don't know so much as hang it up, but maybe even like get. It might be time to. There's surely a team
change of scenery.
Yeah, those teams that all they need is like just next level is probably gonna be a quarterback. Like
I don't like.
Like the Bears, maybe they could use him until they get somebody else in there, and he could get them to the playoffs. He could have his Peyton Manning year with a great defense behind him. I mean, Phillip Rivers. The one thing that I'll always notice, and I saw this on a stat that came through ESPN stats and info. I think it was something like 61 games where he's been in the fourth quarter down 7 points or less, 7 points or less, trying to do a comeback drive. I think it was like 61 games or something like that. It might have been 61 games that he's lost in the fourth quarter being down 7 points or less. I'll always remember Phillip Rivers, whether he comes back next year or not, is he's always in the fourth quarter down a score trying to win a game. That's what the Chargers have done to him.
And he always presses too much, tries to make throws that aren't there, and that's why he throws so many damn interceptions.
You know what I'm going to remember
about?
He just
lobs them up.
Oh, yeah, the last one that he threw, I know I heard Nate talking about it. I mean, dude was just sitting there in the coverage waiting to pick that one off to end the game.
It's like, what are you doing?
I really believe that if he doesn't win a Super Bowl or if nothing crazy happens in 30 years when I look back on the player Phillip Rivers, I'm going to think of three things. One, the worst throwing form I've ever seen in my whole life. Number two, bolo ties. Number three, having like 900 kids.
I would.
Those are the things I'm going to remember.
The second two I can get on board with.
Yeah, the first one I don't know about. He doesn't throw a bad ball.
He's got a whack throwing motion. Even if it's not a bad ball, it's a whack throwing motion.
Mm. We can debate that one.
He can sling it.
Hour number two coming up next.